the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Can I extend my welcome? My name is Simon Richards, and I'm part of the team that leads this congregation. A very warm welcome to you on this super sunny bank holiday weekend. It is lovely and sunny, isn't it? Now, we are midway through a series called Jesus Brings Change. We have seen so far predominantly an update for the students who are recently back and are sitting exams next week. I may only mention exams a couple more times. Jesus brings change. We've seen from unforgiveness to forgiveness. We've seen from death to life. Today, we're taking a look at hungry to full. That sounds good, doesn't it? Who likes being full? Most people. Most people. So that's what we're going to take a look at. And on your way out, we would love to offer you a bookmark. So over the last couple of Sundays, we've taken some of the teaching and given a couple of questions, and those are there on a bookmark for you to take away, maybe chat about with Christians who are in your life in the course of the week, and to just remember some of what we've been up to here on a Sunday. Now, if you are looking for a book for your bookmark, could I recommend this? I'll just get this out of my lunchbox. I say mine, it's actually Henry's. I have a book here. It's called A Meal with Jesus. We've taken a look at this book before at Belmont quite some time ago. But today's message is all about food. So I hope you're not hungry already. It's all about food and Jesus and catering, Jesus and meals. So someone has once said about Jesus that he, in Luke's Gospel, which is the book we're studying throughout the whole of this year, he's either on his way to a meal, at a meal, or coming from a meal. You can learn a whole lot about Jesus and food. So a brief recommendation of a book that you could read. Now, speaking about food, has anyone heard of this? The Exeter Food and Drink Festival. Has anyone heard of it? Okay, been before or planning to go? It's on this weekend from the 4th to the 7th of May, and it is in by Exeter Castle and Northern Hay Gardens, so right in the centre of Exeter, and there's 30 top chefs, 100 producers, and they're expecting 20,000 people to come over 4 days to this event. It's absolutely huge. Interestingly, they're expecting an average of 5,000 people a day. That might come into play a little bit later. We're taking a look at the feeding of the 5,000. Today, a well-known story. You'll find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, the Exeter Food and Drink Festival markets itself and bills itself in the following way: the ultimate foodie event. It's a bit of an overstatement. It'll be good. No doubt it will be good. I think it's about £8 for a ticket. This, the feeding of the 5,000, really is the ultimate foodie event. Here's a review for some people who were at it. They said, "We all ate and were satisfied." They really enjoyed themselves. Now, we're doing some whole church learning at Belmont over the last couple of weeks. And so all of the kids, children and youth, have been studying the very same passages of Scripture. So we're all learning and all at once. And as well as the bookmarks, there's so much we could say about the feeding of the 5,000 that we won't get to today. So you might want to carry on your conversation over lunch. That would be very appropriate. And if you were to, here's some things that you could have a think about. I'll read our story in just a moment, but you might want to think, are there any passages in the Old Testament that are similar or reference the passage we look at today? Or how about this? How about this? How about, I don't know how you eat during the week on Monday morning. You're at your desk, you're at the office, you're out and about, wherever it is, chances are you eat. However you do that, have a think at the at your next lunchtime. Just have a little look at your lunchbox, whatever it may look like, and just think about the little boy with the loaves, bringing those loaves and fish to Jesus and him doing amazing things with them. You might look at your own lunchbox a little bit differently after that. So those are some things we could be doing. Let's read together. We're going to take a look at Luke chapter 9, so you can grab a green Bible, though they are around, and page 981. That's where we're going. Luke chapter 9 and verses 10 to 17. Let me read to you. The apostles are just back from their short-term mission. That's interesting. We've got the contact workers back today from Athens. They've been in and out of surrounding villages, speaking about the kingdom of God and healing people. You can read all about that in verses 1 to 9. But let's start at verse 10. So Luke 9, verse 10, page 981. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they'd done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we're in a remote or a desolate place." He replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd." About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of about 50 each." The disciples did so, and everyone sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. This is a huge public miracle. The story is told in all 4 Gospels, and it really is a miracle. It's the ultimate foodie event. It isn't somehow that this tiny little offering of bread and fish just about scraped round 5,000 people. That is not what happened. This isn't a story about people just about getting enough. This is a story of plenty, of abundance, of more than enough, of leftovers. It's about people eating and being satisfied. It isn't a story about really, really good portion control. This is a story about abundance, about the kingdom looking like people being satisfied, well-fed, and listening to Jesus. It's a story of plenty, and his is a kingdom of plenty, of all eating, of all being satisfied, of all being pleasantly full. Which sounds very good, doesn't it? And what I think it is a glimpse of the land to come. It's a glimpse of the kingdom, a glimpse of the kingdom of God. Starting with 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus fed 5,000 people at a minimum. He's awesome. He's awesome. It's a huge, amazing miracle. And it would have been a huge change to the crowds that were watching. We're doing Jesus Brings Change. They were very hungry. They went away very full. So it's clear that Jesus brings change, huge change even. 5,000 people fed with a packed lunch. But have you ever wondered how exactly and why exactly Jesus brings change? How does he do it? Why does he do it? Well, here's a couple of thoughts, and then we're going to talk to one another and respond to this message. So Jesus brings change because the king brings the kingdom. The apostles are just back from their short-term mission, and they've come back to headquarters. Verse 10, headquarters is Jesus. They've returned to Jesus. And they're looking forward to some time of refreshment and relaxation. They're clearly going to have some remote time alone with Jesus. And just imagine it. You had that planned. You had the holiday booked. You had a time of refreshing on the horizon. And it gets severely interrupted. That's what happens in verse 11. This getaway is interrupted by huge crowds of people. In another gospel, it will say that Jesus had compassion on the crowds as they were like sheep without a shepherd. It's a huge interruption, yet Jesus welcomes the crowds and he welcomes the interruption. He welcomes the interruption of needy people. Just as an aside, does your week look like that? Is there flex for something like that? Could you welcome the interruption of a needy person? Jesus certainly does. He welcomes the crowds and he speaks to them, verse 11, about the kingdom of God. That's what they're up to for most of the day. The feeding of the 5,000 bit happens as the day's wearing on. They're getting to the end of the day. But they hear about the kingdom of God. It's fascinating when you just get these tiny little phrases and you wonder, what on earth was said that day? If you have a look at verse 11, they're speaking about the kingdom of God. What kind of thing might Jesus have said? What's the kingdom like? Well, we know from Luke so far, he said things like this. It's good news. It's for the poor. It requires single-minded devotion. It's seemingly small, but it's going to have a huge impact. Not everyone will get in, but anyone from anywhere is welcome. We know that there's a cost to joining it, and we know that wealth can be a barrier to getting in. And we know that to start out requires a childlike faith. And we know that it's arrived, but it's not yet. It's now and it's not yet. Jesus has brought the kingdom, but there's way more to come. Well, that's the kind of thing he might be speaking about, but evidently he shows them the kingdom. That's what this miracle's all about. He shows his abundance, his generosity, his kindness. He shows that he's the creator, that he's the kingdom's king. Take a look at what he can do. Verse 16, skipping briefly to the end. Jesus looked up to heaven. He doesn't work on his own. He looks up to heaven and he makes new bread and he makes new fish. He's the producer and the disciples merely distributors. Actually, to qualify as a disciple using our passage this morning, you have to be able to carry a basket. That's the kind of thing required of the disciples, to distribute the good things Jesus has made and collect them at the end. He's the great producer. In fact, he's the great creator. He's the kingdom's king. You could say that he's the creator and that the disciples, the crowd, the bread, the fish, the grass they're sitting on, that's all his creation. So he's clearly the kingdom's king. So when Jesus brings change, he's a king bringing a kingdom. But I wonder what you think that kingdom looks like. It sounds like an odd kind of question. What does the kingdom of God look like? It sounds like a really bizarre, abstract question. How do I even get a handle on that? Well, I think it's actually a bit more concrete and a bit more obvious than that. The kingdom of God, as we get from the feeding of the 5,000, looks like a crowd of people reclining on the grass, talking about Jesus and eating the good food that God has provided. Do you want to enter that kingdom? That sounds great, doesn't it? That's a picnic in the park with plenty and with Jesus at the center. That's what the kingdom looks like. In fact, you could say it looks like a desolate place turned into an abundant place. Take a quick look down with me. Have a look at verse 12. The disciples say to Jesus, send the crowd away. Big, huge crowd of hungry people. Send them away because this is a remote place. In other translation, that's better, desolate or wilderness. It's a desolate, barren place. There are no resources, no provisions. And yet Jesus there brings plenty. He brings abundance. So that's what the kingdom of God is really like. It looks like bringing abundance to desolate places. And at this point, it's pretty much over to you. I'd love to know what the desolate places look like in your week. What's the kind of barren, low resource, lonely kind of place that's out in your week? Or where you go, wherever you find yourself, where's the desolate place where you could see a glimpse of the kingdom come to fruition? Where with a bit of looking up to heaven, heaven might just come down and begin to change things. What's the desolate place that you're going into in the week ahead? And how could Jesus bring his kingdom of abundance there? Or what's the desolate place you haven't gone to yet, but you could very well go to and bring some of this kingdom abundance to life in a desolate place? Well, that's pretty much all I've got, and I've got some questions for us to prompt some discussion, to get you talking to one another. I hope that's okay. There was a point in this meal, clearly, at which everybody's attention was fixed on the one man, Jesus, and he was speaking about the kingdom of God. But we get this point at which the crowd breaks down. Jesus says to the disciples, make them sit, effectively sit in small groups, and he will feed them. So no doubt that went from being a sitting and listening moment to a chatting and receiving and talking kind of moment. So we're going to do a bit of that just now. Let me take you through what I'd like us to ask each other. So this final questions here. Here's what we could be thinking. We've thought a lot about the king and his kingdom. Let's now think about the disciples. Imagine yourself as one of the disciples in this situation. Put your feet in those shoes. Imagine yourself before the meal. How would you feel when Jesus said to you, you give them something to eat. It's your job. You do it. Here's an impossible task. You give them something to eat. And then how would you feel after the great meal? How would you feel your next job is gathering up the loaves and the fishes, gathering up the leftovers, the impossible's been completed? And then the key one I want us to chat about within us, and you may need to meet and greet, feel free to stand up and roam around, however you want to do it. Where are the desolate places around you? And what might it look like to bring a glimpse of God's kingdom there?